That WEAA traffic report was brought to you by Luna, offering flooring, carpet, hardwood, and laminate flooring. Information at 877-241-LUNA or luna.com.
Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner. I'm sitting here with Anthony McCarthy, of course, host of the Anthony McCarthy Show, which airs right here on WEAA each Friday from 5 to 7 p.m. and joins us here each Monday to take a look at the news that was, the news that is, and the news that may be. You can join us here at 410-319-8888 or write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Anthony, good to see you.
Always great to be with you, Mark.
And is your sound coming through? It seems like...
Nope.
All right, there we go.
There we go.
Now we're cooking with the bacon.
Great to be here with you again. Looking forward to spending Mondays with you. Our chance to actually see each other.
That's right. That's true. We're so busy. It's good to have you here. Mm-hmm. So a couple of things we're going to try to talk about, folks, and love you to join us. One is what is going on in these town hall meetings, one being held actually this evening at 7 o'clock at Towson University with Congressman Elijah Cummings and Senator Ben Cardin. And they expect protesters outside. But around the country, things have happened. A man hung Congressman Frank Cradiville from the Eastern Shore of Maryland, a Democrat, in effigy. Another congressman, Todd Akin of Missouri, thought it was funny.
Yeah.
And took his hand and raised it up above his head and yanked his neck to the right, talking about lynchings and laughing about it. That says a lot. We are seeing increased ugliness and hostility. An unnamed freshman congressman apparently was physically assaulted at an event, and Congressman Brad Miller from North Carolina, a Democrat, said he is receiving death threats, that he will lose his life over this. And it's Anthony, you've been in politics a long time on Capitol Hill and here. What do you think is happening here?
You know, Mark, it's been amazing. There are death threats that are being made against union leaders whose unions are supporting the health care reform legislation coming out of Congress. They call it Obamacare. A lot of the opponents call it Obamacare. Mm-hmm. And union leaders are reporting to police that they have to be protected because of the threats against them. A congressman in Georgia got into a shouting match. He kind of lost, if you see, you can go to my blog and see the actual videotape of him answering a question from a doctor. The doctor obviously was trying to goad him into responding, and the congressman just lost it. And I think a lot of this pressure, Mark, we're seeing is coming from this orchestrated demonstrations that are taking place at these town hall meetings. Congress is on recess, and traditionally, members of Congress, senators and members of the House of Representatives, use these times of recess to meet with their constituents. They hold town hall meetings on specific issues, general issues, and they're very well attended. They're orchestrated and they're organized by the congressperson's staff months in advance leading up to these recesses. Mark, the video, the media coverage of these town hall meetings is somewhat frightening. Shouting matches, pushing matches, violence, fights breaking out. And if you just follow the questioning, and online you can find where a lot of the folks are standing up asking the exact similar questions, almost as if they're reading from talking points to these members of Congress. And they stand up and they shout down other speakers. And it is very organized. And I think you don't have to be a rocket scientist to realize that the pharmaceutical industry, not the pharmaceutical, the insurance industry, really is sending out these marching orders to really pressure these members of Congress on this legislation. The big crux, of course, is this talk of single payer as well as this public option.
Option, right.
And it is scaring a lot of Democrats who are seeing their poll numbers starting to drop. Now, not by huge amounts, but they're beginning. Nancy Pelosi and others are beginning to see Democrats in Congress take a hit on this legislation. And they've lost the argument, Mark. And I know you read everything and you see all this. Really, the opponents are leading the debate. And Democrats and some of the more moderate Republicans are reacting. And so they're losing this debate. The president has to find a way, some sort of game changer to take control of this again. And I'm not sure how that's going to happen, but it's a very, very volatile environment members of Congress are coming home to.
There's an interesting kind of juxtaposition here between the amount of money the healthcare industry is spending in Congress to lobby people and spend money to get their way, to ensure that if they have reform, that as it was quoted by somebody, that they want to thread this reform so it passed and protects all their profits.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And convincing America that they're right and Obama's wrong. And that the kind of healthcare reform we don't need. I mean, there was one man who jumped up in an audience and apparently yelled at his congressman, he wants you and the Democrats to keep the government's hands off my Medicare. I was like,
wow.
Medicare, I think it's a government program, last time
That's
I looked.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Mark, you saw the media coverage devoted to Sarah Palin's remarks about President Obama's death committees making the decision on whether or not her son, who has Down syndrome, lives or dies, and her father, which evidently must be suffering from some sort of disease as well. Very, very emotional, very, very inflammatory debate taking place right now around this issue. And I think the effigy of Cradiville, that's just the tip of the iceberg. It really is just the tip of the iceberg, because the opponents to President Obama's health care reform are winning this argument right now.
You think they are?
I think they are, Mark, because they are winning the argument of public debate because they are winning over the headlines. And therefore, President Obama had to give his weekend address addressing point by point the misinformation by his opponents. And so he's not winning this debate. And you see Democrats like his colleague, Senator Durbin, saying, all right, let's just get a bill out. Let's get a bill passed, even if we have to leave the – get this, Mark – even if we have to leave the public option out of the legislation, let's get it passed, and then in conference between the House and the Senate, maybe we can get the public option back in. But let's get this legislation out. The left is going crazy on this because Howard Dean, the chairman of the party, former chairman of the party, he's written a book about health care. And he says, look, don't compromise on this. You finally have the votes to do this, and now you're compromising on single payer and public option. But Durbin said, you know, at the end of the day, people need health care reform. People need coverage. Let's get a bill out and hope that we can, in conference committee, come up with a bill that covers more people. That says to me, Mark, they're not winning this debate.
Folks, what do you think? 410-319-8888. 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Log on to Facebook. You can make your comment there. Maybe you're standing in line right now waiting to get into the town hall meeting and listening to us on your iPhone or some other similar device. Call us up, 410-319-8888, or on your way there. And your thoughts about what is going on in these town hall meetings, the kind of violent tone of the opposition that's taking place. And it's a really kind of, it's very different. In many ways, I think that when the health insurance industry is backing this with their money, I don't think they're consciously going, okay, we're going to start violence. But they're playing into the hands of people who are feeling very violent. You know, the man who killed those women in that gym, mm-hmm, also had on his blog or website, wherever that was, a lot of racist, anti-Obama messages and other things. There's a connection between the kind of violence rising in America. We worry about, and we'll talk about it in the show, we worry about the gangs in the streets of Baltimore. And I do worry about the gangs in the streets of Baltimore. But there's something else going on here just as violent, that's a reaction to some, and I'll just put it on the table here, and people can get angry at this if they want, but that there's a portion of especially conservative white America that is terrified they're losing power in the world and in their own lives, and are reacting in some violent ways. And I think that's part of what's at play here.
Well, Mark, you're saying something that a lot of people just don't want to talk about. From the shooting at the Holocaust Museum to the shooting that recently took place in Pennsylvania, you're able to trace back, and it was on his website, and he in a written diary that the gentleman kept did the shooting in Pennsylvania at the health club recently. Very, very detailed opposition to Barack Obama's policies, but it's not so much the policies. It is laced with a great deal of hate and racism, open hate and racism. And we see that, you know, I was reading another website, and I know we're not supposed to publicize these things, but I was reading another website, Mark, where President Obama gets almost three times the death threats that George W. Bush got. And they're coming clearly from hate groups across the country. And his security detail has had to be beefed up because we like to think we have come so far. But a lot of this healthcare debate, Mark, when people talk about it, when you watch the video clips in these town hall meetings, they're not actually going after their congressperson. They're going after President Obama, and they're going after him with a real hatred that really undergirds this whole debate about – we've lost really the debate about healthcare.
And the confluence is that the power of the healthcare industry, of the pharmaceutical industry, putting all their money into defeating portions of this bill. They want to see a healthcare reform bill, but almost, one that they want. But
that's right.
But one that protects them and protects their profits, really, at the expense of people, I think, in America, in many ways. And that has triggered – That has come into confluence with the anger and hatred against Obama in almost like a perfect political storm of opposition to Obama, you know. And I think we're in a very scary place in that sense in America. And I think that Obama sometimes has to, the president plays a very safe game, and maybe part of his safe game is part of his problem, you know. Let's see, what do you think, folks? 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Anthony McCarthy is in the house. Of course, he's host of The Anthony McCarthy Show, which airs right here on WEA every Friday from 5 to 7 p.m. Joins me here every Monday so we can talk about the politics of the day, social and cultural issues, whatever happens to be around at that moment. And you can join us here at 410-319-8888. Robert in Baltimore, you're on the air.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Well, Robert, welcome.
How are you?
I'm good. It's obvious that this attempt by the Republican Party and these healthcare companies is a clear attempt to undermine not only Obama's policies but to keep America, you know, stagnant in terms of healthcare. They are trying to quell or sort of quiet the progressive voice, you know, of Obama, who was trying to ensure health care for those who don't have it. I personally can attest, you know, and vouch for a person who was once without health care, and it actually led me to financial peril. But these people have become so engrossed with anti-Obama sentiment that they are unable and they're jaded in their view to see what's actually going on. And that's my comment.
Thank you so much, Robert.
I will. Only thing that I would add to what Robert said, Mark, you just hit on something that's really playing over and over again in my head. There is, as much as the message from the right is obvious, the message from the pharmaceutical and the insurance industry, pretty transparent. But Mark, there are questions on the left being asked as well about compromises and deals with pharmaceutical lobbyists and the pharmaceutical industry and the Obama White House. And they don't have to go very far. If you just look at the contributions that President Obama got during his campaign and continues to get a wide breadth of support from the insurance industry as well as the pharmaceutical industry. And a lot of people on the left believe that Barack Obama, for all of his wonderful articulate rhetoric about the public option and the reasons for the public option and making insurance competitive, they believe he is playing it safe because of that ongoing support and because of the ongoing advice he's getting. Maybe no lobbyists working in the White House, but people in the White House very connected to the lobby industry.
Very, very important point. It is important.
And I know people, Obama supporters, don't like when we point out both sides of this argument, but that's our job. It's very clear that there are people in this White House. There are people in the Democratic caucus leadership that are very tied and very close to the insurance industry and the pharmaceutical lobby.
Well, and the power of all that money. It was Dick Durbin who said just months back that the Senate is controlled by the banking industry. 410-319-8888. Let's see, Ray, you're on the air from East Baltimore.
Good afternoon, guys. It's an interesting conversation, man.
Thank you.
Hey, listen, man, and I know it obviously makes for good television and radio debate, but let's face it, Obama has received over $18 million from the insurance industry, but not one penny of it did he need to become president of the United States. So he doesn't have the same obligation or the same type of ties as a lot of the Democrats may have, because he never needed. His campaign was obviously a grassroots campaign. But let's be clear. The reason why he's not out lobbying and campaigning, because we know this man can run a campaign, I think we can all agree on that, is because they don't have the bill yet. It's not one bill. There's three bills, three proposals for bills. And they haven't narrowed it down as to what they're going to be keeping and what they're going to be throwing away. So it's hard to lobby and campaign for something that you don't actually have in place yet, where it's easy for Republicans and Obama haters to just campaign against it. But the reality is this, man, the things that are happening in these town halls, if you're going to protest, you're supposed to protest outside. When there's a person there trying to learn because lives are in jeopardy, they may be going through something themselves, loved ones, whatever, the representatives should be able to hear and answer these people's questions. So to me, I mean, people get locked up for disturbing the peace all of the time. Now, the Constitution says they have a right to this protest, but it's supposed to be peaceful is the key word.
Well, I think,
and they're not peaceful protests.
And I think part of the problem, though, this is, and maybe, you know, everybody who's in opposition to something orchestrates their opposition. I mean, that's nothing new. But this is being orchestrated with a lot of money and for the most insidious reasons, and I think people are playing on people's fear about government and people's fear about their own futures, and that's what's pushing this.
And Mark, I think Ray makes a very good point, but let's be very clear. The president, as much as there may be several, versions of this legislation being proposed by the Republicans, by Blue Dogs and Republicans together, by the Democratic leadership, by a group of rogue Democrats. There are several pieces of legislation. But the Obama White House has to become much more clear about where they're drawing the line. Whether they, you know, he threw out very early this idea, Mark, that single payer is not necessarily a priority for him.
Right.
And I think that
right.
shocked a lot of people.
Right.
I think that also there's a whole bunch of debate now about the public option. We just talked about Senator Durbin. So the White House could be much more clear. I agree with Ray. Yeah, there are several pieces of legislation up for consideration. The final bill that is compromised and voted on by both the House and Senate, we have yet to see. But I think there is some argument to be made that the president could play a much more strong coach role in shepherding the pieces of legislation or the components of the legislation that he wants to see in this final reform through Congress.
On the way back to the phones, Barbara and Bill, we're going to come to your calls next. The next two callers up at 410-319-8888. As I sit here with Anthony McCarthy right now talking about these town meetings and the threats that are taking place, but it's, and the pharmaceutical industry has gotten what they wanted in many ways, which is saying that their patents can last longer and they control the medicines and that the price comparisons will not be allowed. The Obama White House seems to be going along with this. And the health industry made it clear, insurance industry, what they want to do is minimize or demolish the idea of a public option. Those two things might be happening. And, you know, that says a great deal about the power that we're seeing.
The chief lobbyist for the insurance industry made it very clear that she does not necessarily support the rhetoric and the demonstrations that are coming out of the town hall meetings and that they believe are being orchestrated by the Republicans and another group of individuals. But she made it very clear. If the outcome is that the public option does not get put back on
the
table,
she'd be a very happy woman.
They're very happy. They are
mechanic,
very excited.
Nani, who runs, who's right. the head of the health insurance. 410-319-8888. Barbara in Baltimore, you're on the air.
Yes, good evening.
Hi, Barbara, welcome.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I do believe that we need health care reform. My concern at this time, however, is the amount of hatred and the rhetoric that's being directed towards the health care bill and towards President Obama. To me, it's very reminiscent of the hatred in the period of time before the assassination of JFK, and I am really concerned about the safety of our president.
Well, this has been something, I think, especially in the African-American community that was a concern and talked about even during the campaign.
And
there's many levels of this thing. The critique you were laying out about the Obama White House, I think, is a very valid and important one for us to wrestle with honestly. And what Barbara just said about the sense out there is another level of this, which is the kind of virulent hatred from the extreme right and fueled by a lot of the conservative talk radio and racism, put it on the table, is a threat to Obama's life. There are a lot of people in a minority of people in America who would like to see Obama dead. That's just real.
And when you look at the conversations, Ray brought up this idea of disruption and that people should have the right to protest. But if I show up at this town hall meeting, why are you protesting in the room where I'm trying to get education? And even if I'm opposed to the legislation, let me hear my representative, the person that I've sent to D.C. To vote on and to look out for my interests. Let me hear his or her responses to your questions. It does no one any good to have a shouting match where no one gets any information out to the masses. And I think that a lot of people are growing frustrated. But Mark, remember the Tea Parties? And I think you and I talked about this on your program.
Yes.
There is this desire in this country. And I think we all support the right for people to protest. I think we all support the right for citizens who are rightfully entitled to own a weapon and protect themselves. I have no problem with that. What I do have a problem with is that people are looking for opportunities to start a movement, and no one is listening to the dialogue that should be taking place so that compromise, if there needs to be compromise, can take place in healthcare reform, these two-form wars that we're in, this new stimulus package. If we're just yelling at each other, then we're not going to be able to move this debate any further than it already is.
No, I agree. And I mean, there's some things I was just looking here as you were talking. There's a poll. There's so many polls. There's polls and there's polls. But but the Quinnipiac poll that came out shows President Obama losing his popularity down to 50%, I suppose, where it was. And it's progressives and others and independents who are walking away because they think he's being too conciliatory to the Republicans in this battle for health care. Now, the polls go up and down. There are all kinds of polls. So what do our listeners think? 410-319-8888. Bill, you just call back in your car. Then we'll go to Rita. Bill, you're on the air.
Yeah, I would like to say, since the president has been elected president, that man, every day he works 9-20 whatever hours. That man works every day. And, I mean, he's trying to do his best for this country. But look at what Bush did. What did Bush do for us? I mean, just get real. I mean, this man is a black man, and us black people have, when we get in those high-position jobs, we got to work harder. Harder and smarter and whatever. But this man, President Obama, whatever health plan or whatever, I mean, people need to get together, work together, live together in harmony and all that. But I just feel sorry that when you said that the president is he's at death threats and all that. I feel sorry for him. That's why all the churches in America, when he became president, that's why they covered that man with prayers. So that man is protected, you know. That man is protected through God. So, that's all I have to say, you know.
All right, Bill.
Yep, thanks.
Thank you so much. 410-319-8888. Rita in Baltimore, you're on the air.
Yes. I wanted to make a statement about the health care, and I just wanted to say that this health care issue's got nothing to do with race. People are concerned about the money that Obama is going to spend. After all, the government-run Medicare and Medicaid is going broke. So how is he going to manage to run a health care system that will cover the entire country without raising taxes. Where is that money going to come from? He has put millions and trillions of dollars into the economy. Nothing has happened there other than buying some cars. So, you know, that's what people are concerned about. Nobody's concerned about race.
Well,
we're concerned about money.
Well, I agree with you that this health care debate should have nothing to do with race.
Well, it doesn't.
No, ma'am, I understand, and I listen to you very quietly. And let me respond to you. But, ma'am, if you go online and you read the arguments that are being made against the health care legislation, all the health care legislation, oftentimes it is laced with racist, hate-filled language. Whether we want to admit it or not, the color and the race of this president does oftentimes play into the hands of some people on the extreme opposition to this president. I don't believe that you are one of those individuals. And I think that you're sincere when you say we need to have a very honest conversation about how we're going to pay for this expansive health care, how we can cover the majority of Americans. How can we? The president's arguing that if we have a public option, it'll make the private insurance companies offer you better coverage. So therefore, in the long run, whether you are rich or you are lower income, we're all doing better. Now, whether or not you believe that is a whole nother dynamic. And I would tell you that the White House would probably have about 15 arguments against the idea that the stimulus dollars that they have spent to this point, although they've only spent about 35-40% of the stimulus dollars that they have, is already getting the results, whether we're talking about foreclosures, whether we're talking about joblessness, it's beginning to have the intended impact. And that's to have rich people in this country continue to invest and spend, poor people get their hands on dollars, become employed, so that at the end of the day, those dollars are circulating in and out of all of our communities, and we began to see a much more stable economy.
Yeah, I realize I kind of would challenge the notion that Medicare is not going to go broke tomorrow morning. I mean, and I think that it is what is insured people's health care after they retire. And I think that I would hate to see Medicare kind of bite the dust. I think most people who oppose public option do not want to see the end of their Medicare, especially if they're over 65. But, you know, and I think that there are a lot of shortcomings. I mean, I think that one article I read today said that President Obama's stimulus package, while weighted too much towards the banks, has created about 1 million jobs. But unemployment is still a huge problem in this country and getting bigger. And that has not been addressed by this White House or by the Congress. And I think that will be a growing issue. And I think that what you raise is an issue that is a legitimate issue against the public option. But that would be fine if that's what these debates were about. But instead, they're about attacking and undermining rather than creating a discussion about whether or not we want a public option in America or a single-payer system in America. 410-319-8888. Let's go back to the phones and let's see who's been holding on here the longest. Chico, you're on the air.
How you doing?
Hi, Chico, you're on the air.
All right, yes. I got two things I want to talk about. First one, I would talk about that Medicare y'all are just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Man, the Medicare, they talking about that we all go and get that insurance. Everybody getting that insurance, like they say. But we don't have the doctors out here to do the work on the people like they're supposed to be. And I had two operations on one hernia, and both of them been messed up. And I had insurance.
Well, that's not to do with the insurance, but it has to do with maybe
quality
of care that you received.
Yeah, but, you know, like, that's what I'm saying. You know, like, they want to put Medicare out there for everybody to have Medicare out there, but we also don't have the doctors out there to do the work for these people and getting paid and don't never keep back in touch with these people. So, you know, like, putting insurance out there is just like putting it out there to give them money to kill you.
Right. It sounds like you need some different doctors. But
yeah.
But then what was your other point?
And the other one was, like I was saying, I was had a business called Ace Auto Detail Shop up here on 32nd and Greenmount before I got sick. And I was hiring the prisoners that was coming out of the jailhouse after they'd done their jail time. I was dealing with the probation that they had to learn a trade before they get off the probation.
Right.
And so I was teaching them all the mechanic, body, fender, and detail shop.
Yeah.
And so I had about four or five guys come in there. And so, you know, like, and the one they teaching them to getting these people in there coming out of the jail, I told the city people, y'all not giving these people a fair chance. because you're putting their record on the natural computer, and when a person wanted, you were like, you go apply for a job, and they ask you, have you ever been evicted, and you tell them no, they can pull your record up anyway and not give you a chance because your record is sitting right there. So
well,
you're like,
I think there are a lot of laws in Annapolis have to be changed in order to give ex-felons jobs. I mean, we're at the point of being ridiculous about it. If you, women who have been arrested, let's say, for a felony can be anything from certain prostitution to selling a few bags of dope to feed their addiction or whatever that is that they've got, they can't go out, let's say, and get a job in cosmetology. They can't get a license. Mm-hmm. And or you can't work in a school with children. I mean, so there are a lot of things that have to change in terms of the rules for hiring ex-felons. I think that's a very important issue. Chief, I'm glad you joined us. We're going to take a very short break and come back. Carla, Tuesday, Maisha, we are all going to come. We're going to come to your calls. I sit here with Anthony MacArthur reminding you the Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the University of Maryland, Marlene and Stuart Greenbaum Cancer Center, an NCI-designated cancer center providing research, treatment, and education to further the prevention and find the cure for cancer. Online at www.umgcc.org. Well, the number for information is 1-800-888-8823. We'll be right back.
Support for WEAA is provided by
APG Federal Credit Union, celebrating over 70 years of personal financial service to the community, living the credit union philosophy of people helping people by building strong families for a stronger community. Information is available at 410-272-4000 or online at apgfcu.com. APG FCU, a community credit union.
And the generous support of members like you. Thank you. Lupus is a serious national health issue that tends to strike young minority women in their most productive years, often unexpectedly.
Body aches, rashes, now my hair is falling out. I need some answers. Could I have lupus?
Although there is no cure, it can be managed if detected early. Increased awareness of lupus and early diagnosis can reduce the number of lupus-related deaths. For more information, look under our events calendar at WEAA.org. This is a public service of public radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community.
Are you still driving a big SUV? You know that filling up that gas tank can be painful. Donate your old gas hog through the WEAA Vehicle Donation Program. For more information...
Welcome back. I'm here with Anthony MacArthur, host of The Anthony MacArthur Show, which airs here every Friday afternoon from 5 to 7 p.m. on WEAA. I remind you that the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union. Offering a full range of financial services, MeQ was formed in 1936 to help people during the Great Depression. And over 70 years later, they're still here to help people during difficult times. More information is available at mecu.com. The number here is 410-319-8888. Before we go back to our callers, let me see in what order we got here is Carla, Tuesday, and Maisha. And we'll get to your calls right now. I want to raise another issue I promised we would raise. And you can comment on this too, or you can stay with healthcare. It's up to y'all, whatever you want to do. It's your hour with us at 410-319-8888. But the issue that Anthony and I were talking about on the phone early this morning, we both had experiences over the weekend talking to policemen. And both of these policemen have been on the force a short period of time.
Very short period of time.
Who were professionals in other professions. The man I know was a teacher of literature, and the man you met was a social worker.
Social worker, mm-hmm.
And we don't have permission to use their names, so we're not using their names. But they were talking about that the violence in our streets in Baltimore is not reported because we hear about people being shot or murdered. We don't hear about the shootings that go on every day, all day long. And you talked about the guy you talked about, it's about the gangs literally taking over neighborhoods.
He, Mark, I was at dinner with some friends, and the police officer was sitting next to us at the table, and he recognized me. We engaged in a conversation. I found it very interesting. He's only been on the force for a couple of years, and that he was a social worker working with families and young people and decided to join the police department because he really wanted to make a difference in young people's lives. And he said he has found that he has been able to connect with some young people and steer them in the right direction. But we got into a very interesting conversation about violence. And he shared some, I mean, Mark, I was terrified as I listened to him talk about the fact that gangs literally control some neighborhoods where you really, when he and his partner or other officers drive into certain communities, he said you get the feel that you are entering a foreign nation because there are so many signs and symbols, and they have communities on lockdown when people can come out of their homes or go into their homes, or it is terrifying. And he kind of laughed. He said he was listening to my program recently where we were talking about the shooting in East Baltimore. And he said, you know, the amazing thing about that is it happens all the time. He said, the difference is, he said, it's not reported by, he said, me and others, because no one is actually hurt or dies. And so therefore our homicide statistics aren't impacted. He said that there is a culture of violence that you can feel pulsating through our city. And he said, as a police officer, he has to really manage that fear because he can't get up every day and go out to protect and defend the citizens if he doesn't learn and continue to manage that fear. But he wanted me to know clearly. He said violence is happening. Gun violence is happening every day. He kind of made a joke about these kids aren't shooting straight. because he said, you know, if they hit more people, then we would report it more. But that there are literally gun battles going on in some neighborhoods that have these neighborhoods on lockdown.
I think that that's a subject I might want to tackle in some depth, I hope, this week with some guests, and do it every week as we've been doing, because I think we don't have a sense of what the gangs are doing or how to address this problem. And in some neighborhoods, it is, as they say, off the hook. You go up on gang websites and there are kids who I think are called EOA, Eat This Food, ETF.
ETF.
So, and Eat the Food means these, whoever we're putting on your website, you can kill. That's, you know, and it is a real phenomenon. And there are neighborhoods, I remember 10, 15 years ago when we started working in Rose and Ashland and we did all those programs with them and we're on the corner of them late at night facing our gangs. The gangs had a lock on that neighborhood and it's been unlocked. But it we do have to unlock it, and I think we have to explore how to do that. And it is a very serious, scary problem. People are terrified in their neighborhoods, in many neighborhoods in this city. You can join us about that idea as well, 410-319-8888. We'd like to hear your thoughts. And Carla, in your car, you're on the air.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Well, Carla, welcome.
Thank you. Can you hear me clearly?
We can. You're a little echoey, but we got you. Go ahead.
Okay. My concern is about the flagrant disrespect that our president is receiving from a lot of different sectors, from the extremes, as well as from people who are supposed to have his back.
Mm-hmm.
As a community, as a nation, this man cannot perform all these tasks by himself. He needs assistance. He said that from the beginning. And I know that he's working really hard, but he's not Superman. He's one human being. And I believe it's a little bit unfair for for the amount of disrespect and the amount of jokes. And I know that if he were John McCain, no one would be questioning his right to be president, although John McCain was born in the Panama Canal Zone, okay? And Hawaii became a state 2 years before the man was born. So I'm just, like, so sick and tired of all of this nonsense and the fact that, you know, he and his team are trying their best to get things done, you know, with us in mind,
right,
as a nation. But, you know, they're just giving him the glue. And it really, really, really burns me up. And I'm going to take your response off the air.
Thanks, Carly. And I appreciate what you were saying. I mean, I think, Anthony, there are a couple of things. I mean, on one hand, it's not just President Obama. He's got an administration that's not doing this alone. It's like there's a lot of people working on this with him. It's not as if he's out there just, you know, swinging away by himself. But the whole thing about the virulent right wing, and I'll just keep saying because I think it's real, the virulent right wing and racist commentary about Obama and about what's going on in America right now is fueled because there are segments of major media that allow it to be on the air, where they have hold sway. Lots of things on Fox, on CNN, where you have Lou Dobbs, who's leading this, you know, populist, right-wing populist battle about Obama not being a citizen. I mean, they have the airwaves.
And, Mark, they've gotten pretty far without me defending them. This is nothing new. I think that with 8 years of George W. Bush, I think that we had forgotten how because the left during the 8 years of George W. Bush employed a lot of these tactics. They really explored and exploited the use of technology to push the Republicans in Congress. And they did. They were very successful. But you didn't see a lot of the conspiracy. I mean, you didn't see this level of vitriolic I don't know what to call it. You just didn't see it. And so I think that we're all a little taken aback by how deep this can get. I watched recently, and I'm sure you saw it as well, Mark, a woman in Israel who's a leader of an international movement questioning the citizenship of President Obama. They do not believe he was born here in the United States. They believe that his mother orchestrated his birth certificates to show that he lived in Hawaii, was born in Hawaii. That being neither here nor there, the level of this debate has deteriorated, but it is incumbent on folks like you and this great show, the Mark Steiner Show, and this station, to really give voice to all of these, I don't want to say these theories, but there are things that this White House is doing that we have to point out. And I think a lot of times our listeners are uncomfortable with that. 200 days in, they ask, well, is it appropriate to talk about the level of funding or the level of support that Barack Obama got from insurance companies or the pharmaceutical companies? Yes, it is. It's significant. And I think it gives you the context for this debate that's taking place in Washington. It does not in any way excuse the behavior of some of these groups during this recess and these town hall meetings. I believe that Ben Cardin and Elijah Cummings are in for quite a treat tonight.
I'm looking forward to hearing what happens to them. And I think that a couple things are true here. People have to come together to kind of oppose this kind of the kind of right wing thug atmosphere that's happening in America today, because it has its roots in the lynchings of America. It has its roots in when I was a civil rights worker in the South. It has its roots in people using violence to grab a hold of the power they saw they were losing because black folks were getting their civil rights. And it's happening in a different form right now. But it's the same mentality. It's the same thing at move here. And I think the other ways is you do have to be honest about the White House and their ties to corporate America and the arguments about the stimulus package are things that we have to talk about and deal with and push.
And push.
Your job is not, our job as citizens is not to sit here and go, everything that President Obama is doing is wonderful. Our job is to push to make sure that we have what we need in America and that things are done correctly. And he needs a push. He needs a push. Remember when Obama ran for president, they asked him, who would Martin Luther King vote for? And he said, he was talking about he or Hillary at the time, and he said, neither one of us. He'd be in the streets organizing a movement to fight for social change. That's what I care about more than I do protecting the White House or anything else. But that doesn't mean that I will put up with the racism going on in America right now and the push against Obama. That's just vile.
I could not say it better.
410-319-8888 is the number here. Tuesday, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, sir. I was calling in reference to a comment that I heard earlier from a man. I came in a little late on the show, but when he was speaking about it, he was saying, you know, we should give Obama a break. You know, he's a black guy. He usually when black people get to a certain level that a lot of people tend to criticize them. And what I was basically commenting on about that was that I don't think that we should take it from that angle. I think it should be – people should criticize, well, we as a people should criticize him because we have an obligation to our country to inquire about when our president isn't doing something correct. And this is actually not in reference to health insurance, but more so, like, I think President Obama sometimes has certain, he makes contradictory statements, or he does things that are very parallel to the Bush administration. And while we criticize the Bush administration a lot, and when we kind of place the Obama administration and the Bush administration in juxtaposition, and we say, what's the real difference here? And we don't find that there are great differences. That's when we can sit down, we can criticize him based upon what he has done, not necessarily, he's a black guy, you know, let's, the world hates him because of that. And I think that that shouldn't be where we kind of sit and we say, well, what's wrong with the Bush? Well, what's wrong with the Obama administration is that, you know, people are kind of racially criticizing him. I don't think that's a really good point to make, more so than let's look at his policy. Let's look at what he's done thus far. And I think that when we do, we say, well, you know, he's supposed to be withdrawing X amount of, you know, soldiers from Iraq, but he's not withdrawing all soldiers from Iraq. We're not totally withdrawing from Iraq. We're kind of starting, you know, more wars. We're talking about maybe we could possibly be going into war with North Korea because we've been talking about how they might have weapons of mass destruction, which is one of the primary reasons why we went into Iraq in the first place. So I think that just going along with what I was saying about how Obama administration is parallel in the Bush administration, if we're going to criticize him, let's criticize him on what he is doing and what we think is wrong necessarily. Let's look at race and let's give him a break because he's black. And mm-hmm. that was my whole spiel. But I've very much enjoyed what you guys have done. I've really enjoyed listening to the conversation. I just wanted to throw that out there. So
I appreciate it. I'm glad you're listening. Thanks for joining us Tuesday.
Thank you very much.
No, I think it's good. And to hear what sound like to me younger voices during this conversation with a very kind of clear thinking is really important.
Mark, you have been a great mentor to me for years. And I remember during the campaign, I was always very careful when critiquing the Obama administration. And I went out of my way sometimes not to discuss race and the historic nature of the campaign. And you told me that there is nothing wrong with acknowledging the historic nature of this man's election and the enormous leap this country has made when we can actually see an African-American in the White House. But celebrating it and then the flip side of that, refusing to question and push, as Tuesday just said, we would be doing a disservice to Barack Obama. We'd be doing a disservice to our country if we did not, in fact, do that. I have a great deal of admiration for what this president has accomplished in his election. But I believe that the question marks remain. And that's why I love coming on here with you, not just about him, but question marks about what's good for America.
We've got to be able to separate it, too. I mean, when I saw him in Denver standing up there speaking, I mean, tears were just streaming down my face. I didn't stop. But that doesn't mean that you don't have a critique and there's a point of view that has to be discussed and your job is to be critical. I mean, you got to be able to separate the two. You got to be able to compartmentalize those feelings to do your job right. 410-319-8888. Who has been holding on the longest here? Maisha, you have. You're on the air.
Yes. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, we can.
Wow. I'm enjoying this conversation. This radio station is a heaven sent. But moreover, I would like to say that, you know, it's not just Barack's problem. He's the president, yes. He's our leader, yes. But this is America's problem. And I would like for every American to stimulate themselves and do what they can do. Our millionaires, our sports players, everybody really needs to, you know, define that line of being critical and judgmental and really fall into place. Us young folks, we say we got to get in where we fit in, and that accounts for all of our million dollar and billion dollar companies, and every American really needs to support and do what they can to make this world, this country, a better country for us all, because the fact of the matter is we're all here and we're in it together.
I agree. We do, and I think that that, you know, you've got to, it's the people's job to push their government.
Mm-hmm.
It's our job to do that. That's what we do. And our job here on the air is to give voice to that and to give that dialogue a voice.
And Mark, the she points out this very fine line. If you study the legislation, the health care reform legislation coming out of Congress, there are Democrats who are opposing this White House. There are Democrats who are compromising and rewriting this legislation. And there is some sense in Washington that this president what do they, jumped over a lot of people to get to the White House, and that there are long-term leadership, Democratic leadership in Washington who have very little interest, Mark, in working hand-in-hand with this White House. What they want to do is teach this president a lesson about where power lies, that there is a separation, and that they will have an agenda, and that it is his responsibility to respond to their agenda as much as it is for them to respond to this Democratic president's agenda as well. And we forget sometimes, Barack Obama he's in the White House, so he is the consummate politician right now. He is a politician. He is looking out for the interest of the special interest groups that are his constituency. And we have to admit that. And I think that we want to believe that even the Republicans are trying their best to find what is best for America. What is, and there's just a very different philosophy and a different road that is traveled by these different groups to get us there.
And now the world, Donnie Glover, I just saw your name pop up. It just disappeared. I'm about to go to you. So if you're still listening, call back and I'll put you back on the air there. About to go. I see Donnie Glover's on the sheet, but Donnie Glover's gone. Come back, Donnie. 410-319-8888. And we'll jump you right here on the air and see what you've got to say. You always have something interesting and good to say. I have a thoughtful man, so John, call back. 410-319-8888. Marie, you're on the air.
Hi, gentlemen.
Hi, Marie.
Just have a short little announcement. The obituary of Jesse McDay Bay is in Monday's paper today, August the 10th, and it gives information about how he died or what he died from and his educational background, his work history.
Okay.
I was looking for it for some time, and what they had before, I guess, was in July, was just where his body was going to be shown. So for those people who are interested in McDay, send the paper today. That's all I have to say.
Thank you so much for your call. I'm glad you got through. 410-319-8888 is the number here. To join us for this conversation, and let's see who is. Well, Paul, you're on the air.
Yes, good evening.
Good evening, Paul.
I concur with the people before me, and with this government, what we have to understand as a people, the government is still under supporting this corporate greed that caused all these problems, and Obama, he's committed to that. Public policy, policing, the status quo. All these people are in the basket together to not take an interest in the citizens before they take an interest in corporations. And the citizens are the ones that go and patronize all these businesses. Also, now, we talk about the racism factor in dealing with President Obama. Now, the racism factor is that is a group of people that we know that's out there is trying to create a civil war, sir. Because of the changing of the system globally, and we in America have to understand we're dealing with a global economy. It's not just about the White House. It's all over the world. So the economy of the world is collapsing. The capitalism has collapsed. During 9/11, when they blowed up those, so what's happening that we won't be able to retrieve all this system back because the water has to go to seek its level, and people are still losing their homes. At the same time, they got bodies piled up in the morgues, all this type of stuff because of corporate greed. Can't nobody let go of the dollar? It's all about the dollar.
All right.
But so what I'm saying is that, and then there's another factor, the Illuminati. All these people are still in action. We know about this.
All right, well, Robert, I appreciate the call. I mean, there's a lot of people behind you as well trying to get it through the air, and I think you're right. I mean, I'm not sure that capitalism is dead. I do think that we will have a veritable time getting back to the place that we were unless we really seriously think about how we're going to reorganize the society we're in to make it a different place. And globalization has changed everything. Changed the whole, everything changed the nature of our existence. So I appreciate the call. So we get trying to get the call right here, 410-319-8888. Let's see, Junique, you're on the air.
Hi, yes. I wanted to say I love the show.
Thank you.
And just want to make a couple of points. One, I agree with most of what most of the viewers have been talking about as far as you have to look beyond the race. But the reality is, it's all about the race. Yeah, you've never seen in the past where they've actually showed on TV the first 100 days that the president has been in the White House. And then there's been so much media around the fact that the president's doing this or the president's not doing that. Of course, the reason that most people would think is because of his race or because there's a race issue, not only from people that are in opposite of his race, but people that are in the same race with him. There's a high level of criticism that's going to be heard from everyone because of his race. So I think it's good to say we should look at it in a different light, but in reality, it is about the race. And that's my comment.
Very quickly, before we run out of time, Anthony, it looks like you have something you want to say about that.
I agree with her. I will dispute just a little bit. It is traditional to look at the first 100 days of any administration. And I know that we here at WEAA and the other stations that Mark and I have worked for, we went out of our way, actually, to make sure that every administration is looked at in the first 100 days. As a staffer to this current mayor, the first 100 days was one of the first benchmarks that we looked at our accomplishments. It is traditional to look at that 100-day accomplishments. It just happens. Mm-hmm. I don't think that anybody went out of the way to look at the 100 days of Barack Obama. Maybe. I don't know.
410-319-8888 is the number here. Can we get another call? We have time for one more caller? No, we have 1 minute left. I guess we don't. So I want to thank everybody for joining us here today at 410-319-8888 with my friend and co-host for this hour, Anthony McCarthy.
Thank you, Mark.
He will be here next Monday, I think 6 o'clock next Monday as opposed to 5. Mm-hmm. And he hosts the Anthony McCarthy Show right here on WEAA every Friday from 5 to 7 p.m. And I'll be listening in, and you should be listening in as well and join him for what his topic will be this week. And we'll figure that out towards the end of the week when he sees what's jumping in the news, and he'll be on top of it. He's got one of the best analysis of our politics around anybody I know, which is always a pleasure to have him on the air. Well, it's always a pleasure to have him on the air here. Stay tuned, because coming back next hour, we're talking about a very controversial book and a really interesting book called The Evolution of God by Robert Wright. He has an analysis and thought about how we think about God and where it came from thousands of years ago, where we are now with it, that is enough to make both believers and non-believers question and have an argument and discussion. So stay with us for that when we return from this break. The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland State Mortgage Late, Don't Wait program. For more information and personal counseling, the number is 1-877-462-7555. Stay with us. We'll be right back.